going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Paulie's a great name.
Oh, Paulie.
What'd you do for Paulie? Anything?
Me, Paulie. I was responsible.
Paulie, we're here because of you.
Yeah, the Cardinals dropped one yesterday, but they do take 2 of 3 from the visiting Milwaukee Brewers. The Blues evened up the series in the Stanley Cup playoffs against Winnipeg, so they go on the road for Game 5. Battle Hawks won. City tied. Had a pretty good sports weekend here for St. Louis, and we are joined now by the host of Sports Open Line, Matt Pauly, and the host of Redbird Rush Hour, which happens at 5 o'clock when the Cardinals aren't playing. But tonight, 4:45 pregame show, as they will play the Reds in Cincinnati. Matt, that was a much better weekend, as opposed to the previous weekend where everything sucked.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. Taking 2 out of 3 from the Brewers, you will take that. You would have loved to have finished off the sweep yesterday, but that's okay. And now they get to play 4 games in Cincinnati against a Reds team that's doing pretty good.
Yeah, the Reds are doing well, and I sort of wrote them off. And again, we're not even through April yet, so maybe I just don't give them enough credit for what I think they'll be for the full season. But right now, they're a second place team. They're above 500. The Brewers have fallen to third. The Cardinals are in fourth. As you look at the way the division sits right now, how close do you think this is to reality?
I think pretty close, because I think they're all right next to each other, and I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between those four teams. I mean, you know, the Cubs on paper are the best team in the division. But that being said, when we're talking Cubs, Reds, Brewers, Cardinals, I just don't think there is a huge separation between any of these teams. So the fact that those four teams are separated by just 4.5 games, I would say that part of it is very close to what it's going to look like at the end of the year.
Well, I guess we're going to find out. And this will be a fascinating division if for no other reason than everybody is fairly evenly matched, I think, and fairly evenly flawed in the same sort of way. So we'll see how it goes. Tonight against the Reds, they are playing a team that has won 4 in a row, and they have been scoring a lot of runs. In fact, the Reds have the best run differential in the division right now. So why is Cincinnati playing so well?
The talent is finally just coming together. I mean, we've been talking about this team for years, about having maybe the best overall raw talent in the division. And I think we're finally starting to see that play out. Now, that being said, you look at the lineup, and it's not like this lineup is just, you know, it wows you. Ellie De La Cruz is obviously Ellie De La Cruz, but outside of that, you look up and down, and there's not like names just jumping off. I think the Francona factor does matter a little bit. I'm not a big believer that managers make a huge impact, but when you go from a guy who I don't think was especially good at the job to somebody who's a Hall of Fame type guy, that helps young players believe and the right decisions are being made. So having Francona in the room probably helps with it as well. I don't know. I'm not giving you much of an answer because I think we're still all trying to figure out who they are and what it's going to look like. I don't think the Reds are going to win the division. I think they're probably the third or fourth place team in the division when all is said and done, but I don't think they're a bad baseball team.
Hey, Matt, Ronj and I were talking about the Cardinals' road woes earlier. They are really struggling on the road. Only the Rockies have a worst record. At this point in the game, is it fluky because it's so early and their record is so bad?
Yeah, it is. Not to pull out of Mike Claiborne, but let's talk about this on Flag Day, right? Like, it's just weird things like this happen. Sometimes there's a time where you can't win a first game of the series. Sometimes you can't win a last game of the series. Sometimes you can't win at home. Sometimes you can't win on the road. And everybody tries to look into it, and everybody tries to figure out what the reason is behind. I can't tell you, between my work here in St. Louis and also my work in Milwaukee, I can't tell you how many times a team has gone off to a tough start at home and has played better on the road, and fans start to come up with conspiracy theories about why a team doesn't play well at home. And it's just baseball. It's fluky. Like, they're 2-11 on the road. It's a terrible road record. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it whatsoever. It is a terrible, terrible, terrible road record. If they keep the 2-11 pace and we're still talking about this in May or June, then not that it's not a legitimate question, Amy, but then like it's a question I think worth diving into. Right now, I just think it's the flukiness of baseball.
I mean, and I get it, but you do need to start winning some games on the road. Like,
yeah.
I get that it's the flukiness because the record's a little too bad. You can't be that poor of a team on the road and then pretty decent at home. So obviously, the numbers are going to even out, but you do hope they do sooner rather than later because you don't want to put yourself in such a bad spot within the division because you can't win on the road.
Yeah, one of the things I've said about this team all along is that this is a team that cannot bury themselves, that they're probably not going to be built to build themselves out of a big hole. And they're 4.5 back right now. That's not a big deal. I'm not worried about 4.5 games back. I'm not overly worried about the record. But to your point, if they start playing more road games and they keep on a 2-11 pace on the road, then all of a sudden that deficit's going to get much bigger and it's going to be a lot tougher to find themselves in contention late.
Thomas Sagesi, supposed to be, I don't think it's happened yet, but sent back to AAA today. They're going to bring up Jose Barrero, who plays all the outfield positions. So I'm assuming this is because Sagesi, they don't want him to just sit, that they want him to play. Is that the reason?
Yeah. I would think so. He's still a young guy coming forward. Now, I wasn't actually as worried as some other people about Sagesi sitting because I think his role with this team moving forward is going to be somebody who's got to kind of come off the bench and play a bunch of different positions. He's not going to be that stereotypical everyday guy. So if they wanted to keep him on the roster, I wouldn't have had a problem with that. That being said, you got to play him a little bit more than they've been playing him recently. So probably makes sense to go ahead and get him back to Memphis and let him play regularly. And then Barrero, he can play everywhere. He can play outfield. He can play infield. He gives you protection at shortstop. I would have liked to have seen Barrero on the opening day roster over Michael Ciani, just so you weren't forced to be in this situation where you had to play Mason Wynn every single day. We know that Wynn has dealt with that back issue. I'm not 100% sure that back issue is 100% healed. I wouldn't be shocked. I'm not, knock on wood that this doesn't happen, but I wouldn't be shocked if maybe that thing flares up on him every once in a while during the course of the season. So to have now two guys on the roster and Brendan Donovan and Barrero who can play the shortstop spot, that's a big deal. And I think Donovan, when the season got started, I don't think the Cardinals were comfortable with anybody not named Mason Wynn playing shortstop. And then when they were forced to play Brendan Donovan there a little bit, I think they were pretty happy with what they saw. So it's probably a little bit of a different situation now where you don't have to feel like Wynn has to play every single day.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh, new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Matthew, how about those Blues?
Oh, my. Isn't this fun?
Isn't this so much fun?
That game yesterday, you know, they're down and they get the late goal at the end of the first period and they come out in the second period and they just run all over Winnipeg and fans are chanting, "We want Connor." Like, everything about it was Pat Maroon drinking Bud Lights and getting the fans going. I mean, come on. This is awesome. I love this so much. I don't know what's going to happen in this series. We know that Winnipeg's really, really good. They're one of the best teams in the NHL. But I'm having so much fun watching the Blues right now and the way that they're playing and the things that are happening. And and it seems like they're getting better every game. And I don't know if that's just there's a bunch of young guys on that roster who have never played in the postseason. So you get a little bit of experience there in the Stanley Cup playoffs and you kind of learn what it's about. And then, you know, Montgomery, the press conference that Montgomery had the day before game three, one of his biggest key points was we have to do a better job in front of the other net. We've done a good job in front of our net. We got to do a better job right in front of the other net. Well, what happens? They start just, they've been dominating in front of the Winnipeg goalie during this period of these last two games. And I just have to think that when he says that to the team, and then it works in games, like that's a really good cause and effect for young guys who have never experienced the NHL playoffs.
Yeah, no, it is. So Jesse Granger does some good work in the NHL. I think he's with the Vegas Golden Knights, but he was breaking down the Winnipeg goals. And this year in the playoffs, 8 of the 16 goals scored against Winnipeg were either screened, tipped, or both in front of Hellebuck. So that's 50% of the goals. And you did notice that in the last couple of games that the Blues, it wasn't chaos in front of the net, but there was just enough. And here's where I'm a little bit torn, Matt, because obviously, you know, Neighbors tip was incredible. And that's a tough stop for Hellebuck to make. If I think one of the pucks went off Pionk's like backside into the net, that's hard to stop. At the same time, Hellebuck's not getting lucky. He's not making any saves that are being redirected or tipped or when he has a screen. So some of this is, yes, the Blues are doing better in front of Hellebuck, but I do think some of it is Hellebuck is not himself with figuring out how to see through that screen.
Yeah, and they talked about that in postgame yesterday. Their coach is saying, because at one point he got screened off by his own guy.
Yeah.
And there was I was watching the TNT broadcast yesterday, and they did their internet mission guys did a fantastic job breaking down what exactly happened and how the Winnipeg player was kind of lazy there for a moment defending his player, and then when the Blue came across in front of the goal, the Winnipeg player was late and came across, and when he came across, he's the dude that ends up screening out Hellebuck. So, is there some luck involved? Sure, there's some luck involved, but I think the big question for me, too, is like Hellebuck's obviously not as good on the road as he is at home, and he's obviously not as good in St. Louis. does that stick with him? Like being pulled from a game in back-to-back games, does that stick with him going into game number five, or are they back at home in Winnipeg, so he's just able to kind of get the win back in his sails and is just back to being one of the best goalies walking the face of the earth? And the answer to that question probably determines who wins game number five.
Yeah, and Matt, and I will say this quickly, that it could be unfairly a career-defining series for Hellebuck in the same way that Clayton Kershaw was perhaps unfairly called like a choker in the playoffs, because the Cardinals in postseason baseball would blow up Clayton Kershaw every time. It was the weirdest thing, and that's what I think this feels like with Connor Hellebuck being the Vezina Trophy favorite, playing so well, but getting blown up uncharacteristically here in St. Louis. Winnipeg's already, the city has the yips because the Jets have been knocked out of the playoffs, but this could really stick with Hellebuck more than it should if he can't pull it together.
Yeah, look, I don't think it's unfair at all. If you are an athlete and you are really, really good in the regular season, and then for whatever reason it comes apart for you in the postseason, and that's part of your legacy, I think that's completely fair. As great of a quarterback as Jim Kelly was, his losses in the Super Bowl are a big part of his career. Same thing with Dan Marino, never winning a Super Bowl. That's part of who they are, and that's not to say that they're not great. That's not even to like be critical of them. It's just part of the story. Championships and playoff performances is what it's all about in sports, and if you're not playing at a high level during the playoffs, then that's going to be part of your story.
All right, Matt Pauly, any parting thoughts on the Missouri Tigers who were drafted? Armand Membu, he goes to the Jets. They also took Brady Cook. They signed him, an undrafted free agent. So Brady Cook goes to the Jets. The Bears get Luther Burden. They took him with the 39th overall pick. So you got a couple of Tigers in the NFL.
Yeah, I think Membu is going to be a really good NFL player. Same thing with. Are you excited about the Burden thing?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that at all. But I think he'll end up being huge for them. I'm curious how they're going to distribute the ball, because they have a lot of people who will want the ball now. So I don't know how that's going to work, because they got themselves a tight end too, who's pretty good. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait for it to all fall apart horribly because it's the Bears, and to hear your weekly breakdowns.
All right. Well, that's enough of you.
Not that you're breaking down the game, that you are literally having a breakdown.
A mental breakdown?
Yes.
Matt, this is enough.
Yes.
Goodbye.
See ya.
Yo, Paulie, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later.